Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I'm irritated, okay? I was told it was spring, okay? The jacarandas are fighting for their lives, guys. Fighting for their lives. I went on a fun walk on the weekend here at Kingsmead College with my mates, and we were burning. Why? Because there were no jacarandas on the down trees, the flowers, okay? Nothing to walk through. It's October, and I'm still wearing a jacket every day. Can someone please explain what it is about the shifts in weather we are supposed to be understanding? Now, my next guest is a data and actuarial science manager at Blink by MyWay, who hopefully is going to help me figure this out. Because one thing we did not expect in September was a snowstorm. We saw how it impacted a range of roads. We're not actually prepared necessarily for driving on snowy roads. It stopped traffic. We had a lot of our toll roads actually shut down. But also there have been a lot of claims that would have come through, either from stock that was exposed. If you recall, that mostly happened in Eastern Cape, Free State and KZN, which have large rural expanses. And there was a great deal of impact. Now, we need to be able to model for these eventualities or these probabilities, and it's quite a difficult one. So I'm excited to welcome John Vessels to help us understand how they navigate the complexities of insurance cover during extreme weather events. John, welcome to Kaya Biz. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm also waiting for proper spring to arrive.
Yes. It's got to be frustrating for you guys. I mean, talk to me about what it was like in the office around the time of the snowstorm.
You know, it is very interesting. We were all expecting much bigger damage than there actually was. And it's not just us. It seems like an industry-wide thing. And I think maybe one reason for that is that, like you mentioned, it affected lots of rural areas where, unfortunately, people don't tend to have as much insurance, even though there probably was good property damage. But I think it's really been a bit of a wake-up call for the industry. You know, when snow is predicted, we all think it's just going to be, you know, just like a little dusting of snow. But I think this has made everyone realize that the climate change is changing the risks that we're all exposed to. And we need to start thinking about that in the insurance industry.
Massively. And this is not just a South African thing, right? I mean, God bless the insurers that are looking after the California sort of Australian spaces where wildfires are persistent every year, or Eastern Africa, right? When we have this sort of recurring April tropical storm that hits along Mozambique, northeast South Africa, and the like. How are you actuaries getting your minds around this? Because it seems as though historical data is not really helping us with predictive data.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So if you look pre-2016, the global insured catastrophe losses were sitting at about $50 billion. And if you look after 2016, that has gone up to about $120 billion. So as you're saying, the past data you have is no longer relevant for the future. So we need to allow for that in our premiums without making it uncompetitive. So even what we've seen in South Africa is a lot of floods. There were those really bad floods in KZN. There were some floods in the Western Cape earlier this year. And we need to start allowing for that in our models when we don't have the data for that. So it has meant we have to consult experts a lot more and also rely on other ways to transfer risk, like through insurance companies also buy insurance through reinsurance, for example.
Correct.
So we've had to find other ways to manage risk. And unfortunately, the cost does tend to get passed on to the consumer, which does mean we'll have to be more creative going forward in how we design products and how we, as a country, mitigate these climate risks.
I was going to ask, does it always have to mean the premium goes up? That's unfortunate, Tino. There's a lot that's been under consideration from South Africans. I mean, I think for South Africans in terms of insurance premium, look, I think we're mostly out of the woods where from the point where insurance companies were all telling us that the grid collapse is not something that's necessarily covered. So hopefully we've come back from the brink there. But weather is something that's going to continue. And to your point, underwriting and reinsurance is going to be an issue. How do I ensure, if I either have a business or in my personal capacity, that I am appropriately taken care of for disaster?
Yeah, it's a very good point. So I think you want to make sure that from a personal point of view, that your policy covers you for all of the things you need, especially weather and elements cover. And just check the wording there that everything you need is covered for. One of the biggest risks in South Africa is hail. So you definitely want to check that you're covered for that. Well, pretty much all policies will.
Sure.
And then if you live in regions where there might be floods, you want to check that. What I will say specifically for business owners is that you want to make sure that you have business interruption cover if you need it.
Sure.
And we were just thinking, can you imagine if the snowstorm happened over Johannesburg and Pretoria, that the cities would shut down and many businesses would also shut down. So I think that type of business interruption cover, you want to check that, hey, if something like this does hit, is my business covered for the profits that I might lose, and so I can still pay my staff and so on. You mentioned stock earlier as well, that in flooding or even in these snow scenarios, some stock might be exposed to damage, and you want to make sure that you're covered for that.
So, okay, business interruption cover, I get hives when I hear it, because I was hosting a breakfast show during the lockdown. And,
yes.
John, everybody found out the hard way. Everybody found out the hard way. Either that business interruption cover didn't match, or that it could not be implemented. So here's back to the fine print and the tricky wording. It couldn't be implemented because it wasn't actually, for example, they had something around a disease or whatever. And it was like, actually, no, it's not really a disease. It's your government that decided to instill a lockdown and a policy. And so you can't really claim your business insurance. I mean, there were so many T's and C's that people came across. To the extent that many business owners were like, well, then, I mean, I've been with this company for 20 years and this is the one time I need them. And they found a loophole. What are some of the weather loopholes that you might be able to find? I mean, to what extent could an insurance company say, well, force majeure, sorry, the snow is not supposed to be happening at this time of year?
Yeah, that's what you need to be careful of. And I will say that the courts did rule that the insurance companies had to pay most of those business interruption claims.
True. You're right.
Thankfully. And I have to be careful what I say because I've also got an employer. But in terms of weather cover, I think what you want to check there is that there's no exclusions that will come as a surprise to you. And if you are a business owner, I would definitely advise getting some advice and even asking your insurer over the reported line, hey, if this happens, am I covered? Because if they say it to you over that line, then they'll have to cover it.
Okay.
But I think in general for these weather events, that's a more well-defined insured event compared to, say, business interruption cover. So I think it's unlikely that you'll get into trouble with that kind of cover.
Great. I mean, it's all going to end with everything's going up. Because the concern I have is the tricky unpredictability of weather or climate change, or the climate crisis, in fact, means that one almost has to insure for an eventuality that one that's in one's blind spot. So you kind of need to, the known knowns, the known unknowns, and the unknown unknowns.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. I mean, when I saw the snow reports, like I said, I was expecting just a dusting of snow. So there's things that can happen that we don't even know about. Even things like cyber risk, I think a lot of companies are perhaps more exposed than they think. So the nature of risks is changing definitely. And if you have a complicated business, I think it's definitely worth getting advice for that. And yeah, unfortunately, it does mean that things tend to get more expensive. And that's unfortunate because as climate change happens, some areas might become uninsurable, which will be very unfortunate. But I think there are things we can do as a society, investing in infrastructure and things like that can hopefully reduce the risk. So we know these events are coming. How do we best prepare for it so that the damage isn't as big?
Very helpful. Thank you so much to you. Those are really important, very important lessons that we've learned. How does one do better in terms of preparing for emergency? I mean, one of the things that I think is quite frustrating in South Africa is that we see, for example, if you think about Hurricane Helene in the United States, there is a coordinated, government-driven warning, a united voice that, I imagine is helpful for an insurance company to say, look, if you didn't take up the emergency response, then I'm not able to help you. You know what I mean? It kind of unifies everybody. How can insurance companies help us get more emergency ready?
Yeah, that's a good point. And there's a debate in the industry if it's a job of the insurance industry or if it's a job of the government. So I think it's perhaps a joint effort. And I know some insurance companies will have initiatives to say fill potholes up and stuff to reduce risks. Sure. And in the Cape, we've seen some investment in mitigating the fire risks there. But I think it really is a joint effort between the industry and the government as well to invest in infrastructure. It was unfortunate what we saw in KZN, that the damage could have been much, much less if the infrastructure was maintained,
even
if flooding happens.
Okay. All right. Joint effort indeed. Thank you so much, John Vessels, for that insight. Data and Actuarial Science Manager at Blink by MyWay, helping us understand how insurers are able to prepare a little bit better for, well, the unknown and the known unknowns.